/Cast.
A team of special forces operatives is hired by the US government for a covert rescue mission. When they land in the remote jungle, they find that things aren't exactly as they seem. To top off their employer's deception, the team find themselves hunted by something other than this world. In today's episode, we talk about the second movie in our Alien Predator Blade Runner universe deep dive. 1987's Predator kicked off the Predator franchise and saw a muscled Arnold Schwarzenegger kick some ass. Welcome to another episode of the Cabinet of Dr. Mystery. I'm your host, Dr. Mystery.
I tried to create living zombies.
Reports that have been made by credible observers of relatively incredible things.
All I gotta do is relax and they'll take me to their death.
Last chance to evacuate Earth before it is recycled.
This is a wicked, wicked world.
We are all evil in some form or another.
Welcome back, Mysterians. I have a guest with me today. So this is Cam.
Hello, I'm Cam.
We're going to start this off by opening some beer. I'm going to have another Blackberry Blonde from High Key.
And I'm keeping it Pilsner.
We got the dog beside us. She's kind of panting a little. I don't know if you'll hear that in the end cut, but Cam's not breathing that heavily.
I just love the Predator.
Oh my God.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Predator.
There you go, that's better.
All right, so we got spaceships.
I want to make a joke about that big belly looking like my mom's ex-boyfriend when he came out of the bathroom with nothing but his man thong on. Fuck, that was a terrible day at work after that. Tyler, are you okay? I'm really not.
I've seen things.
Man, I want to go canoeing.
Yeah.
I saw this pond the other day. They had a big... canoeing statue.
A canoeing statue?
Yeah, at a pond.
Was there a woman in it?
There was a person. I don't know the specific gender.
But you did see a person in the
statue?
There
was something inside the statue. It was like a person rowing, like paddling, right?
Oh, so it wasn't a little man in a canoe?
No. Not quite. But the point is I don't know how much canoeing you can do at a pond. You just go in a circle.
Yeah. I've canoed in a few dugouts.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a good way to get practice.
So... when we just saw that Arnold lighting up the cigar in there, I remember reading that he wasn't allowed to light it in the helicopter and they had to use special effects for that.
Yep. Strange use of special effects just so he could light a cigar in the opening scene of the movie, but it's Arnold. He loves his cigars.
He could have also just got out of the helicopter and lit it, you know.
But it's more dramatic if he's inside. Also, I read that during the filming of this movie, he got Carl Weathers addicted to cigars.
Yes, that's true. I do remember reading that.
There he is.
It's the man.
Whoa.
Theme.
We should just call them out.
How many memes are in this movie?
This is normally how I meet my friends too.
Yeah.
when I went to my apartment door to open it and let Cam in, we also arm wrestled before he came in. Not assassins. We are not assassins.
It's not a tumor.
Love you, Arnold. I think the most interesting part of this whole film was the what we were talking about before, how difficult it was for them to be on set. You had mentioned about them getting ill.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all got traveler's diarrhea from the hotel they were staying at, except for Arnold and I think the director. I forget what his name is, but... Yeah, only two people in the entire cast and crew didn't get diarrhea during the filming of this movie.
So not only are they like, not only are they shitting themselves constantly in between takes, but they also, you know, there's, you know, you have leeches, snakes, humidity, heat. And then there, the what we'll see here is also like when they're filming, it's not like they're filming in like a field. It's pretty rough terrain. And later on, they're getting soaked and they're covered in mud and it's hot and sticky and there's bugs and snakes coming at you. I don't know. But, you know, they make an iconic film and here we are generations later talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does this qualify as generations later?
I mean, isn't a generation usually like 10 years?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I'm not very smart.
I would say this is a generation, at least a generation, if not generations.
I guess this will be discussed for generations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it will be an iconic film for sure.
It's a classic in sci-fi, action, semi-horror. How long do you think he took to write that joke?
He'd probably just writing them in between takes, like thinking about these terrible jokes. Yeah. That didn't age well.
No, it did not. Also, Governor.
Governor and sexual Tyrannosaurus. I wonder what his platform was. I am also a sexual Tyrannosaurus, so you should vote for me. It's always interesting having the pets in the studio.
I keep getting whacked in the back of the head with a tail.
That's my favorite part about hanging out with the cat, is just randomly getting hit in the face with a tail. I'm really enjoying these high key beers. If you don't, like, if you're into beer, why don't you try to, like, find some craft beer, explore different beer that you've never tried before? If you don't live a little bit, what's the fucking point?
Was it last weekend when we got the variety pack of fruit pie beers?
Oh, so good. Not vegan, but phenomenal.
Yes, the key lime pie was amazing.
This makes me think of Cadets.
Yeah,
very similar experience. I was also dropped in the middle of a jungle with an AK. They didn't have us on the pulley things. They literally just pushed us out of the helicopter. And fuck them kids!
Good luck. Don't die. So do you think this qualifies as getting to the chopper?
I mean, yeah. It's a unique way to get to the chopper. I don't think those guys are going to be in the sequel. Not the good kind of stripping.
That weird audio on that line.
Half-ass mountain boys. Does that remind you of anything?
Yeah, the last time we watched this movie, you were convinced that there was actual
gorillas.
primates carrying machine guns for a good chunk of the movie.
I was trying to figure out why they were so afraid of gorillas. Like, what's your problem? They're not, they don't have any weapons. They're not coming for you. Just leave the gorillas alone. Let them exist in peace. They're just chilling, bro.
Silverbacks in the bush.
Now I'm just thinking about gorillas with handguns and machine guns.
Harambe's revenge.
Just pulling the pin on grenades, but they can't pull the pin because their hands are too big, so they're just biffing them at you and they're exploding. The sheer force.
Crunch.
they run into a big circle and they have two in their hand and they just crush your skull with the grenades. We should make an animated series. Bruh, he's just covered in it. Sucked the life out of that tree and then just let it sap all over him.
No, just that scene alone makes me realize how different this movie would have been to film. Because, like, nowadays, doing a movie like this, they would have an entire soundstage set up like a jungle. Yeah, no, this one, they went out into the jungle and did the whole thing outdoors, like... Man, just fighting with the lighting alone,
right? That would be the thing. I think, like, I think that could be part of the reason why I find older films more compelling is like the actuality of it, the realism, the realisticness of it, you know. And like when you're talking about them setting the scene for this, a lot of that special effects, like they could have even used real animal guts or something like that as well. And even if they didn't, like, it's all realistic special effects that looks real in person in your hands, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we have a lot of technology and the way that they film movies and stuff nowadays is phenomenal, but also, like, you know, it's just, I don't know, used to be so much real.
Mm-hmm.
So much real. Now no real.
So real much, wow. Why did they skin them?
Man, it's pretty wild when people lose weight for this film. I was reading that he lost like 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember that? You know what we should watch?
What's that?
I think it's called The Machinist.
Oh, with Christian Bale?
Yeah, and he lost like hundreds, I think, right?
Yeah.
He weighed like 80 pounds or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he set a world record for the amount of weight lost for a movie role.
That's wild. And when I was like reading about that film, they were also talking about how like that had a huge psychological impact on him.
Yeah.
Or when, like, when he was filming, it was like true method acting.
Oh yeah. Well, have you, you've seen the movie, right?
I haven't.
Oh man. Yeah. He plays an insomniac.
Mm.
And
which, you know, would have a huge effect on your psyche.
Jean-Claude Van Damme in the bush. Shit.
Cool. Normally people extend their hand and ask if I need help standing up, but okay.
You make another noise, I'll blade you and leave you to die.
Now imagine doing this when there's actual snakes and shit.
Scorpions, spiders.
And this isn't your first take. This is just the last one.
Also, apparently, I was reading that during the night when they were like resting for the next day of filming, they could hear actual guerrilla warfare going on not far from where they were staying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't want to get that.
They were
mixed
hearing
up.
Gunshots and stuff while they're trying to sleep. And there was an actual, like, covert guerrilla war going on.
Imagine being one of the guerrillas and then hearing like a gunshot or hearing like an explosion, and it's really just this movie.
I'm sure they probably amplified things.
Maybe. What if the movie gunshots and explosions were the reason for the guerrilla war?
That's what I was just saying. Yeah, this movie probably amplified the war that was going on.
But what if they started it?
Oh.
What if they had like no idea, but they actually started this massive guerrilla war?
Oh, jeez. It's a classic.
Why does he have that hat on? Oh. Apparently Arnold handpicked that guy. Because he liked his voice and his size, his stature.
Which guy?
Blaine? The governor? This guy?
Oh. Jesse Ventura.
Ace Ventura. God, I miss Jim Carrey.
One down. Oh,
there you go.
I've always wanted to rig something something similar to this up, but if for in the wintertime at the top of a hill with a rope, so you could just have a tow rope up to the top of the hill for going snowboarding.
That'd be a good idea.
He's just Arnold being Arnold.
Improvising.
Man, those tires, those look like it could rip a chunk out pretty hard.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So wait, they're doing this to try and rescue prisoners, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to be left alive by the time they're done with this. Right?
Like, where are the prisoners being kept? Off-site, hopefully?
Also, your theory about them maybe starting a war by accident might not be that far off with the amount of explosions and fire.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they might have even thought like there was like DEA or FBI or something, and then they ended up just starting guerrilla wars like against each other.
So that minigun that he was firing, that's the first time in any movie that someone's held one in their hand and fired one. They also had to modify it quite heavily. They had to use electricity to spin it. They had to slow it down by 5 times just in order to be able to see the barrel spin.
Didn't they have to modify it so he could hold it, or?
Yeah, I think they had to, like, because it's heavy. I mean, it's meant to be mounted on a helicopter, not held in your hands.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had some sort of a harness that he had to wear just in order to hold it.
Well, because I'm pretty sure I've seen that in the Matrix film. Is it part 2? Where they rescue
Morpheus?
Yes, yeah, where they rescue Morpheus and they have the gun mounted on the helicopter.
Yeah. That might be in the first one. I think you're right. I think that is in the second one.
I don't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah.
They have all 4 at the library, though.
Even the new one?
Yep.
Ah.
Your library. That line was improvised, where he hits him with a pole or a knife or whatever.
I feel like a lot of Arnold's one-liners are improvised.
Knock, knock. Yeah, I think you're right.
He must have really loved being in Batman Forever.
Oh, I bet.
All the amount of Mr. Freeze one-liners.
Yeah.
It's a girl.
Oh, I can't hurt a lady. It's not exactly what they were told. Fuck's sakes, dude. You're insane. I see. I'm also smoking Marley Natural Indica right now. I guess it would be black indica. Because we do drugs.
Drugs, drugs, drugs. Which are good, which are bad.
Man, what if we had, like, you could be my babysitter and I do shrooms while we record?
I'd be down.
I just, like, lose complete grasp of reality and it's on recording.
Well, yeah, I think we would have to talk about a less dark topic than some of the things we've been talking about.
Okay. I know that you're trying to watch this movie while we're talking, but I want to do an episode about the Great Bull Semen Heist.
Yeah, that could be a fun one to talk about.
That would be a fun one. Sounds like a government conspiracy to me.
Arnold don't do that kind of work. You know what else would be a fun one to do? Just do some review a bunch of the Canadian anti-drug and child safety PSAs.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
North American House Hippo.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. What was this is your brain. This is your brain on drug.
I don't think that one was a Canadian one, though. I'm pretty sure that one was in the States.
What about the sound effects one?
Oh.
My thing's T-Rex.
Yeah.
Or no, my yeah, thing's...
What's your thing?
Yeah, my thing's sound effects. Here's a T-Rex.
Mom, Jimmy cut me in half again.
For people that have never heard it, they're like, okay.
Well, oh, yeah. Yep.
But you could literally say that to people walking down the street here, like anywhere in the country, and they'd be like, you know, yeah.
What's your thing? Or, yeah, I remember hearing you mention the Body Break theme
body
song.
Body Break, yeah.
As soon as I hear anything that even comes closely to their tagline, I just, like, it's stuck in my head forever. Oh, I get it this time.
So does he.
Why does he look so sad?
It's like that Snapchat filter where you look extremely depressed. So this is the first time that Billy really senses the predator entity. And another thing is, like, we'll hear it a little bit later on. We'll hear a creepy version of that laugh because the predator kind of copies that laugh. It's a good beat.
I was just trying to figure out what that noise was. Like, it's definitely something reversed.
I remember reading that the guy that was doing the sound effects for this was working on another movie, and his voice was so sore from doing the sound effects for that movie that he just made these clicks and these incoherent, like, mumbling noises. And there's the laugh. But he just made these clicks and noises because his throat was actually, like, so sore. And he actually, like, had coughed up blood at one point. So he just made these clicks to fulfill the contract.
So weren't you telling me that the actor that plays Billy was, like, super hard to deal with?
I think so, yeah. I think it, like, they had hired, they were saying how they had hired, like, part of his agreement to work on this, the set was that they needed to hire, like, a bodyguard. And there was a discussion about people that were upset that, why did this guy get a bodyguard to... Like, he needs protection from all the rest of us, and they said no. It's so that, like, he doesn't fuck with you. Like, he was such a problem to deal with, and he was aggressive and sometimes got violent on the sets that he was on. So they hired somebody so that... that person would be an intermediary between him and the other people. If he started getting into, you know, altercation, they would help him out of it.
Keep him in check.
Basically. But everyone was saying, why does he get a bodyguard and I don't? And they're like, it's actually, he is for you, actually.
You all get a bodyguard.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, yeah, fair. We're in a world of hurt. I remember that one of these guys was excited that their, when they were being measured for their wardrobe, that one of their arms was, their arms were bigger, like an inch bigger than Arnold's. Like a huge achievement for them.
I mean, yeah, look at his fucking arms.
Right.
If your arms are one inch bigger than his, that's big.
I can guarantee you mine are at least 15 inches smaller.
He can smell something. I think it's more about him sensing something than smelling, maybe. Is that normally how you hold a gun?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Anytime I've held a weapon, I usually put two hands on it.
I think that's how you hold like a handgun.
I don't normally put my finger on the trigger while I'm just walking around behind my friend.
Yeah.
There's so many movies that I see where they have their booger hook on the bang switch. Like, keep your booger hook off the bang switch until you're ready to fire.
So I'm pretty sure if you were to fire that gun with it under your armpit, like the way that he was holding it, that thing is just gonna, like...
It's gonna fuck up your arm.
Or at the very least, break your finger.
Because that recoil is gonna be pretty powerful.
Yeah, and you got nothing bracing it.
Why do they look so sad?
It looks like they got bad clown makeup on.
Oh my god, I almost spit my drink out through my nose. That was so stupid. He did not whistle. His lips did not make a motion at all.
That was coming out of his nose.
Oh, okay. God.
You know, sometimes you get those boogers that gives you the nose whistle?
Yeah. And then he redirects them over. Yeah. Christ. I almost spit out my drink. I like when they dub over things and you're like, bro, what? No. Uh-oh.
Is
this the end? Zoop. Oh my goodness.
I'm pretty sure that was the scene that was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh yeah? That makes sense. The one scene that he was in.
Where you don't actually see the Predator suit because they just had him in blue, a blue suit.
Yeah.
And then he realized that the actual Predator suit was too heavy and awkward and he couldn't fully move in it.
So the way that they did the invisibility cloak effect there was pretty interesting. So normally you would use a green suit, right, to add in the special effects, but they used a bright red suit because it's, I guess they had to take into account the green in the jungle and the blue in the sky, so they used that bright red because it's like the complete opposite. And then they basically like took away any of the red color from within the frames, so it just left it empty, which is kind of an interesting idea because how, like, you would normally use a green suit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would not work at all in this environment because it literally everything's green, like including the clothing that the other people are wearing is green, right?
Yeah.
Essentially what they did was, you know, they removed that area of red and then they used a wider lens on the camera to like combine the two effects perfectly. And so it created an outline, like a little bit of an outline in between. And then they just kind of like multiplied that effect, which is really interesting because that's kind of what I was getting at before, is like, this is one of those instances where they did a lot of it kind of in camera, and then they used unique editing techniques, right?
Yeah.
Oh, here's the gun again.
Mm-hmm.
So basically there was this guy in Toronto that got in a street fight with another dude. I don't know what it was about, no context, but he used his snake as a weapon. I didn't see any video, so I'm not sure if he like whipped it at the guy and like it was like a whip and he was like whipping the snake against the guy, or if he like tried to choke the dude out. But he used the snake as a weapon. I thought that was pretty interesting. You don't see that every day when you're in downtown Toronto.
No, no. I mean, unless you're fighting Jake the Snake.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be in the sequel.
No.
That's a pretty cool effect.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his face. So there's that predator blood.
Mountain Dew, KY Jelly, and glow sticks.
Yeah. And that's also another thing, too, is like that those like special effects are Mountain Dew, KY Jelly, and glow sticks. Like, what? I don't know how many. You wouldn't see that being used today. I don't know. I'm just really interested in like the pioneering aspect. You know what I mean? Like the ingenuity.
Oh, yeah, I just remembered another one of the facts about that gun. Whenever they used it, they couldn't fire it for more than 5 seconds simultaneously without it jamming up.
Mm. Jeez, and here they are just tearing down the entire forest.
So there's no single shot of that gun being fired for more than 5 seconds at a time. Triggers on, no bullets home.
And all of these guys went home with PTSD.
What about all the animals in the jungle?
Predator traumatic stress disorder. Sorry. What did you see? I saw the absence of something.
I don't know what I would think if I just saw one of my friends with a hole just blown through their chest like that.
I mean, welcome to World War One, Two.
Nothing.
What could possibly be out there?
Mmm, shiny.
I wonder what it tastes like.
Shit.
Lube. Like, sweet lube glow stick.
Have you ever gotten glow stick in your mouth?
I've never gotten glow stick
in my mouth. It is not good.
What does it taste like?
It's very bitter. I'm trying to think of like what you could compare it to.
Pure chemicals.
It's like, okay, so you know like when you ever lick a 9-volt battery?
A long time ago.
Yeah, you know, like that, like
chemical kind of acidic
like,
taste.
You almost like your tongue kind of tingles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that, but a taste.
Can I ask why you had a glow stick in your mouth?
I didn't have it in my mouth. Somebody broke one and was flinging it around, and it got in my mouth.
Why did I automatically assume the worst? Someone's just pinning you down and just pouring glow stick liquid into your mouth. And you're loving it. I wonder if that is a fetish.
Oh, probably.
Somebody who... people are just addicted to this and then they die within 30 days.
What is it? Rule...
34?
Yeah.
Is it 34?
I think so.
Anything... is the dick if you're brave enough? Everything's a dildo if you're brave enough. Isn't that it?
No.
What's rule 34? Is that everything can be fucked?
It's if you can imagine it, there's a fetish for it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was close.
Yeah, you were close. You're in the right ball game, but.
Yeah, there's some weird shit out there, man. I saw this ad. I wasn't on a porn site, but it was like
sure.
It's one of those sites where it's kind of sus anyway. Why are you on here? No, you know what I mean? Like you go down the rabbit hole of something and then you end up somewhere and you're like, whoa, what am I doing here?
I get here?
Yeah, let me back out of here. It was this ad for It was like local singles near you, one of those.
But it wasn't
like call this grapevine number or like sign up to, you know, MFC.com. It was like a cake farting thing.
Oh.
I was reading stuff and you scroll through it and halfway through it's local singles near you farting on cakes. What? Should come with a warning. Your site should come with a warning. I was not ready for it. It was like one of those, it was like a bodybuilding forum, but they were talking, it was about Rayleighism.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about Raelism, and, you know, you go on Google and you're looking at different things, and, yeah. You end up in the wrong side of the internet. Why are bodybuilding forums so weird?
I don't know.
I've been on three different ones just looking at shit, and they are wildly out of pocket. But people post like conspiracy theory shit on there too. So you end up there looking at conspiracy theories, and next thing you know, it's cake farting. I'm still haunted by the cake farts, bro. I didn't see it, but like, you know, she just sit on it, but I have this image of my, you know, in my head of a, you know, a bubbling cake. And now you do too. Everyone listening to this, it's like a plague now.
I watched a video about the whole cake fart thing.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
A YouTube doc about cake farting?
Pretty much, yeah.
I wonder what Arnold's fetish is.
Working out.
I think it would be a woman working out with a cigar in her mouth.
No, it is literally working out. There's a documentary, and he is literally quoted talking about working out is like coming.
What about the maid? Do you think he worked out with her before? Do you remember that scandal?
No.
You don't?
No.
Hold on. You don't remember that? I'm not sure if it was when he was governor or not.
The only thing I know about Arnold outside of like him being governor and his acting was when for a while there he was a really big tank enthusiast. Mm. And he had just show up in places in his tank.
Imagine. I said I'll be back. And he opens it up. Now they got something to eat. Arnold had an affair with his ex-housekeeper, and she worked for the family for about 20 years. And now I'm just going to say, wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find his wife. he ended up fathering a child with this woman, Maria Shriver. Okay, so I don't, is he still married to Maria Shriver? We're going off topic here, but you started this by not knowing about this. They just got a divorce like 2 years ago.
Oh.
So he's like, they stuck together even after this. So he had an affair with his housekeeper and he fathered a child with her. Let me show you a picture. Do you know what Maria Shriver looks like?
I think so.
Let me show you a picture of Maria Shriver. We're going way off topic. Okay, well, actually, that's a bad picture. Her hair looks fucking wild there. But like,
okay, yeah.
Right, so
if it bleeds, we can kill it.
I was, so sometimes I spend some time on YouTube watching different, like, how real is this videos, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I was watching one and this guy was, he's like a wildlife adventurer or whatever professionally. And he was talking about like how this is fairly realistic. He was saying like a lot of the stuff that they do doesn't really make sense. Like, why would they do it this way? It's just one of those things where they're doing it for that Hollywood effect.
Yeah. This is why they did it like this.
Yes, it's so
show
they could
off the muscles.
Show off their titties.
You get a bunch of very athletic men together for an action movie. They got to show off.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they were saying that when these guys were like, whenever they had the opportunity to go work out or, you know, when they were working out before the set, if they were working out in the same gym or whatever, they were saying how some of them would prank each other. So one of the guys pranked Arnold and poured a bunch of water all over himself to make it look like he was just drenched in sweat. And Arnold went hard and tried to beat him and work out harder than this other guy. And yeah, it was a big joke on set. Also, like, I remember I brought this up the last time that we watched this together. Like, he's not really shaving anything.
No.
He's just constantly shaving, and it's like, you guys have been here for, like, an afternoon. Like, have they not been, is this, like, all the same day, really?
I think so, yeah.
Or, like, even at the most, this is the next day? Like, you don't need to shave, bro. You don't need to. But you were telling me something about this scene.
Yeah, the whole shaving thing was just something that he brought to the character. It wasn't in the script or anything. And as soon as they saw him doing that, they rushed to build a razor that could do the fake blood thing.
Another good example of like improvisation and adding more realism to the character and to the film itself. People being like showing passion about the project.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if this has any like basis in reality, this whole folklore about the
Maybe.
Might have to look into that.
Yeah.
Especially after hearing about the whole Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm. Real life connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Episode 1, for those of you who haven't listened to it. My very first episode, but still a classic one. Still a really good subject for sure. Maybe when we do episode 400, we'll revisit it. Just narrowly avoiding death. This is kind of what it was like for me navigating my last relationship. And you and your wife are the people that are watching it.
Tyler, be careful.
Watch out for the tripwire!
Watch your step!
It's a trap!
Come back! Come back! That's some cool wire work.
Oh, shit. And there you finally see it.
Not just a green screen.
Damn, bro. Get to the chopper.
There he is. Wonder if he still considers that one of his favorite lines in any movie he's ever said.
Yeah, he said it's still one of his favorites.
Probably one of the most iconic, other than I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine just getting rocked by that whole tree.
Yeah, no, I don't want to imagine that.
Nah. Man, I fucked up my toe like about 8 years ago, and it still haunts me to this day. I couldn't imagine getting hit with a whole ass fucking tree. I'd be like, bitch, put a bullet in my fucking brain, end me.
I almost had an entire tree dropped on me once. Well, kind of dropped it on myself. Really drunk at a bush party, trying to get more firewood.
Oh, God.
We found a dead tree and we were going to push it over.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't quite go. It had give, but it not quite enough. So I thought, well, I'm just going to climb up this a little bit and give it a tug. Climb up. Give a tug, look down, realize I'm 20 feet up this tree. So I just held onto the tree and rode it all the way down.
Yeah, I went to kind of like a dance, kind of rave party with my friends in the middle of the park in Nova Scotia. And my friends owed me some money, so they said they'd pay me back by giving me drink tickets. So I got really fucked up, and we smoked a lot of weed and drank a lot and just had a wonderful time dancing. And I woke up the next morning and I had just deep cuts all over my back, all these cuts all over my back. And I said to my friends, hey man, like, my back is really fucked up. Like, what happened to me? And they said, oh, my friend Jord, he's an experienced climber, so he climbs like all the time. So they said, you saw Jord climbing the tree. He just got an impulse to go climb the tree, and you decided you were going to go up after him. And apparently I went all the way to the top of the tree with him. And he was like, hey man, the tree can't support both of us.
Yeah.
And so I guess I just let go.
Okay.
So I went the entire way down, and they said I hit every branch on the way down. And I woke up the next morning, just my entire back was ruined. Yeah, I was with... See, I would say the concept would be the same as seeing a laser sight on you, right?
Yeah.
Would you not think, as an experienced military professional, like, honestly, I don't think most military professionals use laser sights, but would you not, like, maybe in training or something like that, like, surely you've seen it before.
Yeah.
You know? I think maybe if we dive deeper into that kill, he was just done. I think he knew what was happening, and he was just like, meh, what's the point?
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, in the scenes leading up to that, he's already started losing his mind.
Yeah. I think he's still alive. You should check his pulse.
Billy's time to shine. Why wouldn't he give his gun to somebody else at least?
I see you've played Knifey and Spoony before.
Oh, well, no more dead weight. Oh, I love the Arnold screams.
Get to the chopper.
I think Arnold already figured out that the Predator only attacks things that are armed, right? That's why he kicks the gun away.
Yeah. I don't know when he figured that out, but so far it's killed everyone. Including the guy who was injured. It shot him right in the head. He wasn't holding a weapon.
He was holding a gun.
Was he?
Yeah. But he wasn't aiming it at the Predator or anything, but he did have a weapon. Like, he was holding it still, I think.
Yeah!
Looks very peaceful.
Also looks like you'd definitely be landing on those rocks.
Yeah, I think you'd hit the land from the camera angle there. I'm pretty sure that the stunt double for this scene, like, destroyed his ACL. Like, absolutely blew his legs out.
I don't doubt that. That was a super wide shot, too. And then he had to do it again. Like, how do they do a stunt like that and not get, like, pulled into the undertow of the waterfall?
Right. I don't know, they must do some calculations and have some equipment, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure they have some sort of, like, a harness or, like, a pulley system of some sort.
So we were talking about Maria Shriver. We were talking about his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
So part of the shoot for this movie was 48 hours before his wedding rehearsal dinner. And Jesse Ventura was teasing him about, you know, getting married and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And he ruined takes, so he would intentionally, like, fuck up the day so that Arnold was late. And so John McTiernan was pissed off about this, and Schwarzenegger actually missed the final preparation for the wedding rehearsal, and Maria Shriver was extremely upset. Anyway, the point is Jesse Ventura is kind of a dick.
And I mean, that shoulder mounted gun, didn't they call it like the parrot gun or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. It was something, a parrot gun or parrot cannon or something like that.
Originally, they had the entire movie set up so that Arnold was facing the Predator completely by himself. But Arnold thought, you know, that doesn't really work that well. So they rewrote the script at his request so that it involved all these other characters. And then they made this later half all about him. Good compromise, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So according to rumor, the original idea for the creation of this film was kind of an inside joke. It was like a rumor around the writers' scene, the Writers Guild, I don't know. And they were talking about how someone had made kind of like an inside joke about how the only person that Rocky Balboa hadn't fought was E.T. And so they put Arnold as Rocky and E.T. is this violent predator. So that's the inside joke. The problem with Arnold being covered in mud and these night scenes that were being filmed is that it's like freezing cold and he's covered in mud, which most of it is pottery clay, and it's freezing cold. So your body temperature is going down a few degrees, right? And you're shivering, but So he's shivering because he's literally freezing. The temperatures are dropping rapidly. You're soaking wet and you're covered in either real mud or pottery clay. And they would try to heat him with like heat lamps. And as we'll see throughout this, like some of the time you'll see that the mud is like extremely dry. And other times it's wet. And so it would be dry because they would be kind of drying him out with these heat lamps. But, you know, they want to get the effect of this wet mud on him. So instead, he tried drinking Jaggery tea, which is like a schnapps mixture. And, you know, the idea is that you're drinking alcohol. It's going to warm you up. But then he just got wasted while they were filming. So that's not really beneficial at this point, you know.
Yeah, I heard that when to apply the mud to him, they sprayed it on him with like a fire hose.
Oh, that sounds awful.
He said it was like being like they would use the same kind of stuff that you would do for stucco. Same equipment that you would use to apply stucco to a house.
I was thinking de-lousing at a prison, but that sounds worse. The Predator has his row of skulls.
So apparently, originally they wanted to do this movie with multiple Predators, but it never, they were never able to do it until Alien versus Predator.
Oh, yeah?
There are multiple Predators in Predator 2, but they're more so just cameos. They're not like actual characters.
Yeah, doesn't it just show them on the ship?
Something like that, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen Predator 2, but...
Same.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie is a pretty wild ride. It's definitely a big departure from this one.
Oh, yeah. From what I can remember, it's like Die Hard meets Predator. But like I say, it's been a very long time.
So here he is, like, completely covered in the clay. So
doing his best Tarzan impression.
Allegedly, in the early 90s, the Department of Defense tested a form of camouflage that used fiber optic cables that would mirror the opposite side of the object to be hidden. So it basically would take a snapshot or a live video of what's behind you and portray that in front of you. So you merely look like a heat wave. And apparently, if this is an actual true fact, they got the idea from this movie.
I've heard that before too, yeah.
Isn't that would be wild. Mm-hmm. That would be fucking wild. The idea of the Invisible Man is a wild concept to me. I watched Kevin Bacon in Hollow Man when I was like, when my mom was watching it when I was younger, and it fucking freaked me out, man. Please, Kevin Bacon, don't touch my hiney.
Yeah, you get a good eyeful of Kevin Bacon ass in that movie too, don't you? Shoopa
doopa doop, you sure do. God,
it's been a while since I've seen Hollow Man, but I remember.
Quite the cut of Kevin Bacon. That's what my cat looks like in the dark.
Just eyes. Gotcha, bitch.
We did talk about this before, too, that they, maybe you want to talk about the Mythbusters thing.
Oh, yeah, how the, oh, yeah, you can see the lines in the effect there for their...
Right? Like, I've started to pay attention to it more.
Yeah. But, yeah, the whole camouflaging yourself with mud, how Mythbusters tested that, and it doesn't work. It works for a little bit, but it doesn't take very long for your body to actually heat the mud up to the point where it's actually warming you up more, or you end up showing up more because of the mud on you, because your body is heating up the mud so much. So your body yourself is not getting warmer, but the mud that you've covered yourself in is. And now we see all of his caked on mud.
So theoretically, if you consistently put cold mud on yourself every like 30 seconds you could maybe fool it, but you'd have to like,
you'd have to constantly be putting cold mud on yourself,
and it would have to be full body.
Yeah,
like you'd have to coat, like dip yourself in the entire thing.
Yeah, yeah. Your eyeball. I bet you he really just could not move with all that mud.
Oh, it looks like he's just caked in it.
Uh-huh. I think if you were to try and camouflage yourself from heat vision, you would be better off to stand next to something incredibly hot.
Mm.
Like, yeah, a giant bonfire.
Kind of blend you in.
They may know you're somewhere around there, but... Or just don't get yourself into situations where you're being hunted by heat vision.
Also a good point.
If I hear clicking noises like that, I'm noping the fuck out.
Apparently, Maria Shriver really got the shit end of the stick while they were filming this. She was, she kept, like, calling Arnold while he was working on set to talk about decorations in their new house. You know, where they bought a house together and she wants to decorate it, so she's calling him on set, "What do you think about this?" And so he said, "Why don't you just come down here and hang out with me while I film this?" And while she was there, the stunt crew played a practical joke and they put a bunch of frogs in their shower.
Oh.
So she probably has great memories of this movie. You missed our wedding rehearsal and now there are fucking frogs in my shower. There he is. Apparently, to make like big fireballs, they would just dump gasoline around and then light it on fire. Not worth the fight, eh? Apparently, seeing what was under the mask made the sound effects guy want to do this film. He was so overworked from doing King Kong and his voice was dead, but once he saw this predator unmasked, he was like, I have to be involved. So he decided to fight him, but to fight him like bare knuckle.
He didn't get shot in the head.
Do it.
No, too eager.
What's that band that's founded on him?
The Austrian Death Machine?
Austrian Death Machine. Yeah. Yeah, when he was saying, do it now, I was just thinking about Austrian Death Machine.
I was thinking about Shia LaBeouf.
Why?
You never seen the, just do it!
Oh, okay.
8675309.
I like how he looks confused.
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. And he's reusing Billy's creepy laugh. Uh-oh.
That's the Predator.
The stuntman in the Predator suit after Jean-Claude Van Damme is the guy flying the plane?
One of the helicopter pilots, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was really pissed off. He thought that he was going to be able to come to this American film set, come to America and make this film and showcase his martial arts moves. And essentially the guys wanted to have him in a suit jumping around like a frog. He was just supposed to be a stuntman.
He didn't understand the assignment.
Nope. Not for a second. My hero. So the editor was talking about how he left that last scene too long. I don't think he did. I think it was fine. But he was saying how he was really into Apocalypse Now, so he left all the helicopter scenes too long. I think it was fine. I think Mac got killed, like, in a just a shitty way. Yeah, I'm fine with how Dylan died.
Yeah, I mean, his is probably one of the cooler ones because his arm got blown off and he still got to get off a couple shots.
Yeah. Well,
that's Predator.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. This episode is produced by Death Hotel Creative, hosted by myself, Dr. Mystery.
And me, Cam.
To view more and to grab your exclusive Cabinet of Mystery merch, visit us at notwhatwesay.com. Check out our Instagram handle at Cabinet of Mystery or our Twitter at Open the Cabinet. Please leave us a review if you enjoyed the show and let us know what topics you'd like to hear in the future. You can hit us up either on the socials or at cabinetofmystery@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave a voice message and appear in upcoming episodes, you can leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/cabinetofmystery. For sources on this episode, please see the episode description. Thank you for listening, and please subscribe or follow for more episodes.